Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And a very, very good Saturday morning to you, and welcome to the Thompson Tractor's Prep Sports Report, as we're coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in South Alabama. So glad to have you with us on a beautiful Saturday morning. I am your host, Randy Bergen, along with Coach Rick Cleveland. Coach, it is good to see you, sir.
It's good to be back, guys. You guys have been toting a heavy load. And it's good to see you guys. I mean that.
It has been a very heavy load. Also, in the house.
My back's sore. Carrying that load.
Been carrying that load.
Coach Mark Lasseter, how you doing, brother?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. Better than I deserve, I can tell you that much. Just a beautiful day here on the Gulf Coast. Walked up, came outside with a cup of coffee this morning. You just can't beat it. Can't beat it.
Tell you what, this is the kind of weather you look for right here.
Randy had the chance to play golf yesterday. And he hadn't told me exactly how everything went, but I wonder if he was able to make as many putts as I missed in the last time I played. So
no, well, no, yeah, putting was a little issue. I gotta get with Ray Schuessler on that, I think. But hey, look, we have got a great lineup for you today, a big show, of course. Coach Mobile. Yeah. Is all eyes were on Mobile today for the 75th playing of the Reese's Senior Bowl.
Yeah, and there's Reese Cups flying all over the place, Mark. I can tell you right now, everybody in the world's got Reese Cups when they go into Hancock Whitney Stadium. And it's a big day for Jim Nagy. Those guys do a wonderful, wonderful job there and bringing the eyes of the NFL into Mobile. And, you know, you go – I come home down Dolphin Street, because I just like to go through and see who all's year round. And boy, you drive down the street and you look in the Wenzel's Oyster House and you see professional football coaches walking in. I saw Rick Neuheisel. He's walking. I wanted to stop and say, hey, you want to play some golf? I got a buddy that can set you up around here, but I didn't. But it's the eye right now of the hurricane, literally of NFL
it's a
coaches.
Really neat time.
It is.
There is a friend, one of our parents, Wes Lambert, owns Dumbwaiter Restaurant down in downtown Mobile. And I was talking with him. He came by the office the other day. We were talking about they're sponsoring that big tournament. We're going to talk about more in the weeks to come over at Steelwood. But Wes was telling me, he said, man, this is a big week for us. He goes, we got pro coaching staffs coming in every night, and he goes, I'm meeting all kinds of people. And he was telling me some of these guys are just down to earth, good folks, sit and talk with you. And you know, what a neat thing to have in your restaurant, you know, and people coming by and they're there seeing all these guys that they know who they are. You know, they're Vikings and Cincinnati Bengals, I believe, were all in there. So just a neat time for the city of Mobile. And what a great thing that Senior Bowl does and brings all these folks together for a week, and it's just a lot of fun.
You know, speaking of the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, A.J. McCarron was on their roster at the end of the season. Yep. Hope he'd stay with them. But I would imagine it's a big deal for A.J. to get to see all his buddies again that are in town, all the scouts and people that he connected with. And I can just only imagine – that Mobile does nothing but it gains from having the Senior Bowl and the job that those folks do. And I'm glad that they have a new venue. I really am, because Hancock Whitney, Randy, as you know, is such a beautiful, beautiful place.
It really is. It is. Now, you know, the Senior Bowl played at Ladd People Stadium all those years, but boy, I'll tell you, this new stadium at South Alabama is fantastic. And if you've never been there before, you're going to enjoy it. There's no doubt.
It is
something
a beautiful
special.
Place.
It's something really special. And I'm thankful, and I know we all are, that we get to keep that. And I hope it always stays
Me
in
too.
Mobile.
I can tell you, there are a lot of cities in the nation that would love to have that Senior Bowl, no doubt. Hey, coming up at the bottom of the hour at 8:30, we're going to be talking with one of the finest coaches around. There's no doubt. Coach Brett Boutwell is going to be on with us. Of course, he's the head baseball coach for the Spartans of Saraland.
You know, and Mark, you and I have spent a lot of time with Brett Boutwell. And between Boutwell and Brandon Dean, there's more tricks up their sleeves than Carter's
got liver
pills.
Well, I was going to say, is he going to talk about Sarah Land baseball, or is he going to talk about how to prank all the coaches on the staff that he's on?
Wow. He's a pro.
He's really good
at it. He's good at that. He really is good at that. But he's done – what a great job he's done as a baseball coach at Sarah Land. Did a great job for us at UMS Wright for many years. He's a graduate of UMS Wright. But, you know, every time you talk to Jeff Kelly, he points out, man, people just don't realize how good of a football coach Brett Boutwell is.
That guy can coach some football now, I'm telling you.
Well, he's got such a great rapport with the kids, and he's a positive guy. He's a pat him on the fanny guy. He's a guy that builds them up and doesn't tear them down. Yep. And that's just – we love some Brett Boutwell, and we look forward to talking to him.
We'll do that for sure. And then at 8:45, Rick, you got the leadership segment.
Yeah, we do, and it's something that I think it hit close to home with me this week when we got what we got from Nathan and those guys. So I want to share that with you. I want to share parts of it with you. Don't want to share the whole thing, but I want to share parts of that with you today.
Absolutely. And coming up in the second hour, another great coach, Terry Canova, the Bulldogs, the UMS Wright Bulldogs girls basketball coach.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Terry Canova is one of my favorite people. It doesn't matter whether he's a coach, if he's coaching middle school football with me back in 2009 when we coached together, or basketball. Just every time I see Terry, he brightens up my day. I saw him at the basketball game, you know, the last home game we had against UMS this year. And he walks up, he and his beautiful wife, he gives me a big hug. You know, it's just good to talk with him. And he's just done a great job with the basketball program at UMS. And he's a guy who does – he's humble. He does it right. He coaches those girls up. And every year, that's a team that, whether they're the most talented team around or they're not, you are going to have to play your fanny off to beat them. That's it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, yeah. I remember that thing that Coach Saban said, I don't want to play those guys. That's what he said. That's what he kept saying. He goes, we want people after they play us, we don't want to play. People don't want to play Terry Canova's teams because they're going to get after you up into all the court, the whole court, the entire ballgame.
Well, he's as good as it gets. I'm telling you, you know, he's done such a tremendous job there. He's sitting on 399, and he plays Bayside Monday to get 400.
Yeah.
And I know that's tough. That's tough for you, Mark. But loving Terry the way you do, and being so proud of him for everything that he's done. He was a college guy who said, "I don't want that life," and. Boy, he's just done a tremendous job for us, and he's you often wonder, these guys that coach ladies basketball, they have a special love for the game and can transfer it into those ladies. I mean, when you watch them practice, it's intense. It's intense. And we're so blessed at UMS to have Michael Knapp and Terry Cover running our basketball programs. It is something special to watch those two. And the way they work together and do things together, it's really a neat thing. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to talking to Terry, too.
It'll be a lot of fun, no doubt. Yeah. Of course, we've got a lot of prep to talk about, indoor track. Going to wrap that, and then at the we'll close up. Mark, you'll have the Camp Grace segment.
Looking forward to that today. Going to talk about some special things in our lives that we sometimes overlook. But I'll tell you what, we got coming up, too. Next week is a sectional wrestling tournament in the state of Alabama. Then the state championship is the next weekend. You got area basketball tournament starting Monday of next week. I mean, winter sports is wrapping up.
That's right.
Yep.
And it's the fun time of year, man. Everybody gets on pins and needles now.
Well, and plus for ADs, athletic directors, spring sports are right. They're already started. We've already started playing tennis, and I'm sure golf is going to tee it up and start it pretty soon.
When do y'all do that, Mark?
We start another – some teams are starting next week. You can start playing on, I think, the 8th or something like that.
Yeah.
But we're not playing until we get back from Mardi Gras. That'll be the David Miller Memorial Tournament at Lakewood, hosted by UMS Wright. So we'll be in that tournament that week. Then we got a new tournament at Rock Creek, hosted by Daphne High School. And I got to give a guy some cred. BK Gray, the coach at Daphne, has done a fantastic job building that program. He has built a program. and come up with. He's got about 20-something kids playing golf at Daphne right now.
We were out there at Quail Creek on Wednesday, and the Fairhope boys were out, Fairhope girls were out. Also, the other school. What's the other school?
Daphne.
Roberts.
Roberts
Catholic. Catholic.
St. Michael.
St. Michael. Andy Ray was out there.
Yeah. Oh, Andy was out there?
That's awesome. All right, let's take a time out. When we come back, let's talk a little Senior Bowl. We're going to do it right here on the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
Uh-oh. I cannot hear this song, and I don't think about you, Mark Lester. Oh, me.
There you go. There you go. Hey, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen, Coach Rick Cleland, Coach Mark Lester. And, you know, Coach, we want to get into the Senior Bowl here. I got a couple of thoughts, and we got a couple of stories we're going to talk about. But before we do, you're driving a mighty fine ride out there today.
I just drove in a absolutely brand spanking new 2009 Hyundai Sonata. I'm just telling you. Thank you, Chris Garris. Man, what a beautiful vehicle that is. I drove in here today, and I'd like to tell you that I was getting people honking at me all the way up here, but I didn't. But, man, that thing, it looks so pretty. I drove it to school yesterday, and I hadn't driven it. The first time I drove it to school, I parked it. Got out, a bunch of the kids walked by. Coach, you get a new car? Look at that car, Coach. Where'd you get that? I'm going, guys, I got this from Mobile, Alabama. Told them all about it, Chris and his gang. And, man, I'm telling you, that thing looks beautiful. I cannot tell you how fine that car looks.
That's Premier Collision at 251-478-4500. That's over at 1177 Sledge Drive. And, yeah, Chris Garris and Tyler and all those folks over there, they have made one short guy really, really happy.
Been grinning for several days now. I'm all around a big grin on my face.
Well, we hope if you have a problem and you need service, we hope you'll go see Chris Garris at Premier Collision. Two locations, 101, what's that other one? Schillinger Road. That's west. And in Midtown, it's right there. On Sledge Drive, 251-478-4500. Man, those are great people, and they've taken care of all of us.
That's right.
I'm talking about it. When you get your vehicle back, you think you're driving a brand new one. So, yeah, I'm glad to know that you got that Sonata back, and you're living
2009.
It looks brand new, man.
You're cooking with grease now.
I am, absolutely. That's great.
All right, as we talked about a few moments ago, in Mobile, it is the 75th Reese's Senior Bowl. And, boy, a lot of guys from Alabama, Auburn playing. But, Rick, you know, there's one that's very used to that field there in Mobile on the campus of South Alabama, a young man that played quarterback there a little while, Carter Bradley.
Yeah, Carter Bradley is – Bradley actually played his high school football at the Providence School in Jacksonville, Florida. He initially went to Toledo. His dad, Gus Bradley, as a matter of fact, Gus served as the head coach in the Senior Bowl in 2014, 2015, 2016, while he was the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Well, you know, Gus was familiar with Alabama and Mobile, and Carter, you know, he had some arm troubles and had started four games, I think, for Toledo, and then all of a sudden he gets demoted or he drops back to second team. Well, he gets in that transfer portal, and Kane Womack and those guys pick him up, and he has been a tremendous, tremendous player for the Jags. And so Carter Bradley's playing in this Senior Bowl and for the American team. And, boy, I'm so super excited for him because he has done such a tremendous job. And it's a great story. His dad was the head coach here, and in those three seasons as the head coach of the Jaguars, and now Carter gets to play in that game. And let me tell you, I was listening to the NFL Network yesterday on Sirius Radio, and one of the guys came in and he said, you know, I hadn't really been impressed with all the quarterbacks, but one that's really stood out is Carter Bradley from South Alabama. So somebody will get him third, awesome. Fourth round, and that's a big deal. That's it a really is. Big deal.
You know, growing up with the Senior Bowl, it was always North versus South.
Yeah.
And then a couple of years ago, they changed it to American and National.
Yeah.
And when you look through this roster, you know, typically you want to see the South players. You want to see the ones from Florida and Alabama and Auburn and Georgia, the SEC, basically, okay? Even, I mean, you can take it over to Texas and all that. But now you look at this roster and you got guys from South Alabama playing with guys from Washington or Oregon. And it just seems confusing to me.
Yeah, it is different. It is. It's really different. But that's okay. That's the way they want to do it. And that's you know, Jim Nagy's done such a great job.
He has.
And Phil Savage before him. And it's such a historical game, and it means so much to Mobile. And it's right here before Mardi Gras. It's just a big, big deal. And, you know, even locally, when Ben Blackman coached at Spanish Fort, he's got two of his former players that played on that team at Spanish Fort who are in this game. Chris Abrams Drain, who ended up playing quarterback, if you remember, for Spanish Fort because of injuries and stuff like that. So Chris Abrams Drain jumped in there and played quarterback. And one of the defensive backs on that team was DJ James, who was an All-SEC player at Auburn. Those two teammates are playing on the American team this weekend.
Yeah, and Chris Avers Drain, he played at Missouri.
He did play at Missouri.
Yeah,
he did.
Both of those guys are going to be high draft picks.
Oh, they are. Yeah. And
they really are.
They were both all conference, too.
They're tremendous football players.
And always have been.
Yep.
And then you got Cedric Johnson, who grew up in Mobile. There's, you know, to have three or four players from Mobile is always a great thing in that Senior Bowl.
It is. There's no question about it. By the way, if you haven't heard, Ryan Williams. Decommitted, I guess. Or he never really committed to Auburn, but he's committed to Alabama.
Right.
Well, he committed in one way. And, I mean, you know, I mean, he was wearing Auburn jerseys when he visited University of Alabama.
And he was wearing Alabama at Auburn. I think he got confused where he was.
Well, he may have had. But, listen, I'm going to tell you right now.
He was going all over the Southeast.
And rightfully so.
Yes,
because
he's the best football player in Alabama.
Man, I mean, he's one of the top 10 players in America.
Yeah.
And so, but that's a great get for Alabama, and especially for Coach DeBoer. It's a great catch for him. And so we're excited for him. Guys, I'm going to throw something else at you this morning.
All right, good. I like it when you're throwing things
well,
around.
I know that you know, man, music just floats my boat.
Oh, yeah.
It does. It hits me right in my heart and deep in my soul. So I get home a little late from basketball the other night. And while I'm sitting there working on lesson plans for the next day, I turn on Netflix, and there's this new show. And it's a special. And it's called We Are the World. Do y'all remember that?
I do.
Do you remember We Are the World?
I can still remember everybody who's singing that deal.
It was like 100 of them.
Well, it was.
Awesome.
And it was a charity group thing recorded by a super group. USA for Africa in 1985.
Yep.
Wow.
So you're
that,
talking
that long ago.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're talking about two of the greatest, I think, just Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie. They were the two guys who kind of were the writers in this. And guess who the producer was? Quincy Jones. And he wasn't the only one. There was another guy, I think, Michael O'Martian or something like that, but Quincy Jones was the main producer of it.
Yep.
And you're talking about people from all over the musical world. And I'm telling you guys, it kind of got me emotional a little bit.
Man,
of course, that's not hard to do. Go ahead.
I'll get it up for you.
But I just sat there and watched that. Didn't get my work done, so I had to stay up even later. I'm talking about you see people like Cyndi Lauper. You see people like Willie Nelson. You see these people. Bruce Springsteen.
Yep.
I mean, just a plethora of outstanding people
Stevie
making
Wonder.
Music. Stevie Wonder was, yes. I mean, it was just amazing. So, you know, that kind of got to me. And
that was an awesome, awesome song.
It was.
Maybe we can play that for you whenever we get back. All right, hey, let's take a time out. When we come back, Brett Bowell, the head baseball coach for the Spartans of Saraland, he is up next right here on PSR.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. The Pumps Market communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Turning face the stars and stripes, it's fighting back them butterflies, it's calling in the air around. Yes, sir, we want the ball. And it's knocking heads and talking trash, it's slinging mud and dirt and grass, it's I got your number, I got your back, when your back's against the wall, you mess with one man, you got a song. The boys are fall.
Mark, that's kind of the way it is here. You mess with one, you mess with us all.
Mess with us all.
Hey, welcome back.
Pack a lunch.
You better. That's for sure. Hey, welcome back to the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Laster, and you. And we are glad that you are with us this morning and glad to have this guy on our Pops Midtown communication line, our good friend. He's the head baseball coach for the Spartans of Saraland, Brett Bowell, on the line. Brett, may I say, may we say, belated happy birthday to you.
Appreciate it, guys. Appreciate it. How y'all doing this morning?
We could sing that for you if you wanted us to.
No. We good.
Well, when Mark realized that Coach Bowell was going to be on, I gave him my keys. We went out and locked up both of our vehicles. Because if Brett and Dean are anywhere close by,
there's going to be a prank.
There's going to be something going on. I'm telling you.
Them boys can get you now. I'm not kidding you.
The best that there's ever been.
Yep. We were scrimmaging yesterday, and Coach Fuller was behind home plate, and he was watching the pitchers. And I walked by with my bag, and I said, "Hey, I'll call you later. I gotta go." And so then about 5 minutes later, he saw me in the dugout, and he was like, "Well, why do you mess with me all the time?" And I said, "Well, it's just fun."
It's just what I do.
Brett Bowell is in the Hall of Fame pranksters.
No doubt.
Just telling you, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame of baseball coaches one day. But, Brett, it's great to have you on, pal. And I want to say hello to Amy. And I hope that Emma Grace and Cleet are foreign to those pranks. I really do. Because I know you're so proud of them, and we're so proud of both Emma Grace and Cleet. And we love Amy, and we love you. But, you know, what is this? Is this the 10th year? What year is this at Saraland for you?
This is my 10th year.
10th year.
Wow.
And, you know, you were with us at UMS for so long, and I think for about 8 years, and you won almost 200 games, like 196 games, and I can't remember that all the time, but love having him and so proud of what he's done. State Coach of the Year in Alabama, I know, in 10 and 11, because that's written on a piece of paper that I keep on him at home. But, Brett, tell us about your baseball team, man. That's what it's all about right now.
Well, actually, right now, I'm parked behind the center field fence, and I just put up the flag for today. And we've got the JV scrimmage here at 9 o'clock, and then we're going to have the hit-a-thon at 10:30, and then 12 o'clock we're going to have our varsity scrimmage. And so it's neat to see, because right now I'm seeing all the parents pull up, and we've got three or four dads that's already got the grill going. Then they're cooking breakfast and lunch for the kids today. Then we just kind of try to make it a family day. And so it's actually fun going up in the press box and turning the iPad on, and Mountain Music from Alabama came on to start. I mean, that's just a great way to start the season.
Mountain Music. We got to love that.
Brett, tell us a little bit about some changes in baseball that are I guess they've been coming for a while, but talk to us a little bit about pitch counts and things and stuff that as coaches you really have to deal with on a daily basis.
Well, you know, the big thing this year is seeing you know, where you can use kind of we've got it, the coach time thing where you you know, or laying from the dugout to the catcher. And you know, this is my 21st year of coaching, and you know, you never dreamed back then that that would be in high school baseball. And dealing with the pitch counts, you know, really kind of our top two arms this year have really been pitching for me since they were in the ninth grade. And just remember, you know, just making sure back then a ninth and tenth grader had 100 pitch count, and the juniors and seniors got higher than that. But, you know, the pitch count's just a number. It's really just make sure that you protect and take care of these kids. And, you know, some of these kids are a little bit more developed body-wise, you know, at a younger age, and some aren't, but they're good pitchers where you just really just got to, you know, really the pitch count's just a guide for coaches and everybody, but it's really still trying to protect these kids' arms.
Well, and I like that. I really do like that because I watch a little bit of travel ball as I got a grandson that's playing a little bit of that, not much. And I'm not sure it's even travel ball that you call what Turner plays, but I know that they watch pitch count pretty closely. So as we're seeing these younger kids go to pitch counts, I think that's a great thing. I still want to see it in ninth and tenth graders and those kids too. So I really like that. Talk about your region, area, whatever it is in baseball and who you think is going to be some really good baseball teams in the Mobile Baldwin County area this year.
In our area, it's Murphy and Blount and Faith Academy and Theodore. And I'm hearing some good things out of the Coach Stanley over at Theodore. And I know that one time he used to be over at the Bayside Academy with Coach Leffert.
Yep.
You know, I've always had a ton of respect for Coach Leffert. You know, when Matt Seymour over at Faith, we have stayed really, really good friends over the years. But there's always kind of 2 days out of the year we just don't speak to each other. But, you know, mainly get back talking. But, you know, Faith's going to have a really good team this year. I can just tell from talking with Matt, he's excited about this team. And, you know, and you know, baseball, in my opinion, here in the Mobile Baldwin County area has become really, really good over the last 5-6 years. And from, you know, from 1A through 7A. And, you know, it's not a year past, you kind of go kind of 1A through 3A was really good. And then, you know, across the bay, you know, years ago, I'm talking about back when I played, you know, a Daphne was always, you know, the team that you always had to go through. But now you kind of see it. I mean, it's more a variety of everybody. And any given day, any given night, you know, you can get beat in this area.
Yeah. Some good teams, no doubt about it. We're visiting with Coach Brett Boutwell, the head baseball coach for the Spartans of Saraland. Brett, let me ask you this. Talk a little bit about some of the leaders on your baseball team.
Well, we're returning every position player that we had from our quarterfinal team last year, except our catcher and then our, you know, one of our top arms. Both of them are playing at University of Mobile. The one's playing at the East Central Community College. And I really like our team from the aspect of the leadership. And, you know, and we talk all the time about, hey, you know, we can't be afraid to tell each other that we love them. And
amen.
What can we do? And we've got a mature team that they really love each other. They really love being around each other. And we had Coach Polk came in and spoke to our team last Thursday night. And that's one of the things that he talked about and sent an unbelievable message. And what's funny is one thing that Coach Polk said, that his job was always to ask the team, what's my job? And he said that his team always said to love us. And then he used to ask his team, what's your job? To love each other. And what's funny is we had that thing last Thursday night, and our seniors looked at me after practice and said, Coach, ask us what your job is. You know, and it's just kind of something we do now every day at practice, you know, before and after practice. And I think it's just a good way of ending it. But, you know, we've got a lot of good players around here. From Evan Hillier to Cam Warren to Brooks Womble. I always want to say Matt, You probably remember under Matt Wobble coached Cleveland.
Yeah, I do.
You know, Cam Lafitte, Santee McWilliams, you know, James Kersot, Mike Smith, all these guys, you know, they've played football together around here. They've played baseball together. And so, you know, we've got a good group, and it's going to be exciting to watch them play.
Coach, let me ask you, we only got about a minute left. Let me ask you a question about your coaching staff. Could you tell us a little bit about the guys who are on your staff that work with you every day?
Evan Bryan, his family is our local legends up in the Leroy area. Coach Bryan came to us from Beauregard High School. He was the head coach there for 5 or 6 years. He does an outstanding job. He's probably, you know, I might get in trouble saying that, but he's probably one of the best math teachers in the building. And
right,
you know, and then Stu Fuller. Stu's in his second year with us, and he's, I mean, just the knowledge that he brings to me and Coach Bryan. I feel like I'm in the second stage of years ago. I had Ronnie Powell that we worked
right
together, and Stu's an unbelievable veteran guy that brings, you know, a calmness in our dugout as well. You know, and it's just, you know, that's been really good. And I got Johnny Sklopan, that's a former player here from 10 years ago. He's back in his second year with us, and he's the one that brings the smuck and fire. And, you know, so it's really fun. And Russell McDuffie and Skylar Moses, they do our JV. They out here right now and getting them ready.
Hey, Brett, we got to get out of here. We got a hard break. But before we go, please give Amy a hug and tell Emma Grace and Cleet. I can't wait to see them again. I really do. And Cleet's going to be playing baseball for him pretty soon. He's only named after Cleet Boyer, I can tell
right,
you that.
Right, the Yankees. Yep.
So God bless, Brett. We love you, pal. And please say hello to the family for us, all right?
Hey,
yep.
Cleet don't have an option. He gets in the band, that's on him. He better play ball.
There we go.
See, oh, Coach. My goodness, Brett, you're a mess. There you go, Coach Brett Powell, the head baseball coach for the Spartans of Saraland. He is a nut, I'm going to tell
you. Something special.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. All right, we'll take another timeout. When we come back, Rick will have our leadership segment. You will not want to miss that at all. We're back right after this.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
Come together as one. There are people dying. Oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life. The greatest gift of all.
Mark, there were a couple others in there, too. How about Kenny Rogers, Paul Simon?
Everybody was in that thing.
Everybody was in there.
Bob Dylan was in.
Tina Turner.
Yes.
So, I mean, all of them are in there. Hey, welcome back to the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Glaster, and it's time for our leadership segment. And Coach Cleveland has that for us.
You know, guys, we're in our leadership class at UMS. We're teaching Stephen Covey's 7 Habits. That I think are one of the great things to a 7 habits of a successful human being. And got something from Brad Israel this week that just it really hit home. And it's called the 8 Habits of Successful Leaders. And to stand out as a leader in your own right, no matter what you lead, whether it be a business, whether it be a team, you must create the habits that back your success and your reputation. And once these habits become part of your daily routine, you kind of set yourself up to be well on your way to becoming a great leader of your own success and in helping others to achieve theirs. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to share with you some things that as a leader, we need to do each and every day to help us become better leaders. The first one kind of hit home with me because Mark and Randy, it said, number one, read every day. Successful leaders know and trust the undeniable benefits the habit of daily reading offers them. Reading makes you smarter. It improves mental clarity. It reduces stress. It increases your knowledge base. It grows your vocabulary, and heavens knows I need that. Improves memory. Activates your reasoning skills. Improves your ability to focus and concentrate. Increases writing skills and brings you to a peaceful place, and is a great source of free entertainment. Reading is an activity that relaxes and stimulates you at the same time. To be a great leader, you must always be willing to walk through the door of learning. The learning you gain from reading greatly increases your potential to succeed. Make your health a priority. Randy, I thought about you
when we were
doing this. Great leaders make it their habit to take pristine care of themselves on four levels: physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. They know that the overall health of their physical body is the foundation from which all other great things have the opportunity to prosper. If you're not physically well, how can the levels above the physical level, emotional, mental, and spiritual, how can they be well? If you're sick at your foundation, the whole of you cannot function at the levels of peak performance you desire. And for this reason, make it a habit to exercise regularly, to eat a balanced diet, to get enough sleep, and take your daily supplements to help sustain your focus, your energy, and your endurance throughout the day. The next one is one that I think so many of us have aspired to do. Learn from people that you admire. Exceptional leaders tend to be overachievers and are often overly critical of themselves when they make mistakes. And to avoid getting stuck in this trap, successful leaders make sure to have superiors or other people they look up to and admire to consult when necessary. You know, when you have someone to model yourself after, it helps to relieve the acute panic that you naturally experience when under the stress of challenging circumstances. Getting advice from the person you admire helps to return you to the emotional state of composure, which allows you to be more successful, traverse through the stressful obstacles you are facing. You know, these things hit home with me, Mark and Randy, because as coaches, as leaders of a business, these things are hugely important. Read every day, make your health a priority, and learn from people you admire. And Mark, in coaching, everybody copies everybody. I mean, nobody really comes up with anything anymore. It's just we take from what other people have been successful at. And we learn from those people that we admire. And we talk to those people that we admire. Randy, in golf, you see it all the time with golfers. Bobby Hall goes to as many things as he can to learn from those people that he admires about the game of golf.
Right.
And we do it as coaches. You just got back from a convention that where all of the coaches in Alabama, the Alabama Football Coaches Association, were there, and you had coaches at the collegiate level come and share with you why they have attained the success that they have attained. And those high school coaches go back, and they try to emulate many of those things that college coaches have done. I've always believed that you can learn, we can learn from those, you know who I like to talk to, from those small school head coaches that take very little and make the most out of it. I used to love to listen to Nolan Atkins. It was at Sweetwater for so many years because it was just the heart of what he did was that he loved those kids. And when you talk to somebody that was a former player of his, man, does it resonate how much Coach loved me. And that's just special. Thanks to Brad Israel for that. Habits of highly successful leaders. Read every day. Make your health a priority. Learn from people you admire. And the final one is focus on challenging tasks. Exceptional leaders live and thrive in the area of challenge. The more you challenge yourself to succeed, the greater your confidence becomes and your ability to do it again. Challenge doesn't just help to grow your skills and knowledge. It helps to grow the belief you have in yourself that you can achieve the aims you set out to accomplish. That is that's pretty strong. I wanted to mention one other thing before we go leave this. I wanted to mention Terry Beasley. You know, we lost Terry Beasley, and it breaks my heart. He was so severely injured with those 19 concussions. I hope people will pray for Marlene and his family. We lost a great one in Terry Beasley.
No doubt. First hour has come and gone. Second hour is coming up. When we come back, we visit with Terry Canova, the girls basketball coach for UMS Wright. Don't go anywhere. More of the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report.
Coming to you live, the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And we welcome you into the second hour of the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in South Alabama. Boy, beautiful. Beautiful Saturday morning. It is going to be a great weekend, and we are glad that you are joining us right here on the Prep Sports Report. I am Randy Bergen, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Laster, and guys, time to go to our Pops Midtown Communication Line and welcome in a guy, 399 wins this guy has, Coach, Coach Terry Canova.
Yeah, and what a joy it is to have him on our staff at UMS Wright, because as Mark has said many, many times, one of his favorite guys that he loves to see and visit with, and had a chance to see him when we played Bayside over there. But I want to welcome Terry. Good morning, Coach, and, man, congratulations on a successful season so far. And I know you got the area tournament coming up on Monday, 3 o'clock tip, and welcome to PSR.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me on this morning.
Well, it's always good to have you on, and I know, you know, Mark, last night, of course, this Senior Bowl stuff, and I know he and his gorgeous wife were celebrating some Senior Bowl stuff last night, and I guess you went to the Battle House deal, right?
So, unfortunately, Kim, my wife, couldn't join us. She does the murder mystery stuff on the Perdido Queen, so she was right across the street at the Perdido Queen, and so, so I was able to go visit my former player, Molly Sokol, and I hung out with Molly's parents. I was the third wheel for them last night at the event. But, you know, as we talk about some of the wins and some of my former players, you know, Molly Sokol is just one of them. I mean, she had a big part of that that event last night. So I got to hobnob with some NFL legends while my wife was across the street being an actor on the Perdido Queen.
That's awesome.
Hey, Terry, real quick, before Rick's going to ask, I want to talk to you, just ask you a question about Molly Sokol. If I remember correctly, is her dad Harry Sokol?
Yes. So, sir, her dad, Harry, I believe he lives in Birmingham now.
Yep.
You know, and
he does.
So Molly grew up with her stepdad, Rob Middleton.
That's right. That's right.
And her mom, yes. But Harry, here's in Birmingham. I don't know Harry very well, but when we would play games up in that area, I had a chance to meet him a couple times.
Molly's grandmother, Barbara Sokol, used to run the rec department at Russell Athletic in Alexander City. Tremendous athlete, great hurdler in high school. Harry wrestled for me at Benjamin Russell High School when he was in high school, and what a delightful family. The whole family is a bunch of wonderful people. I'm so glad, because I remember Molly was in middle school when I was at UMS and got to see her a couple of times. So thanks for bringing that up. Just brightened my day, buddy. And that's completely off topic. I'm sorry, guys. But that was really neat. But anyway, Coach is going to get on some other questions about some stuff for you. But congratulations on 399 pound. I'm looking forward to seeing you get that 400th.
And well, I think that's against Bayside.
If you go long enough without getting fired, you can eventually win some games.
That's right. That's right.
Well, and you certainly have done that, Terry. And I want to talk a little bit about, you made the decision to leave college coaching, and Talk just a little bit about that. Now, is it 18 years you've been at UMS? Because I thought you had been there every year I've been there, and I know this is 20 for me.
Yes, it's been 18. I want to say my first year was 2006, 2007.
Yep.
I believe that was my first year. So yes, it's been 18. That first year, I remember I had five junior starters. I had a senior that decided not to play at the beginning of that year. But I had five junior starters. And then the following year, my second year, all five of those started as seniors. And that was that my first group. It was the Gilmore twins, Christina Pavlov, Kristen Hayes, and Madison Plash. So, you know, that's the group that kind of got me started and got me on my path. I actually corresponded with a couple of the twins yesterday. They both put a kind comment on my article there from Ben Thomas. And I told them, I said, well, you know, a lot of that gratitude goes to you guys because you guys, you know, you trusted a new coach. And you made me look good, you know, as a young new coach. If things go differently in those first couple of years, you know, the whole trajectory could change. So just appreciative of all of them. I think it's been about 15 different varsity assistant coaches and 46 young ladies that graduated throughout my program as seniors. So.
You know, Terry, one of the things I think that stands out watching you coach is you really don't ride a wave of emotions as outwardly, but inwardly as a coach, I can imagine the emotions that you go through during a game, but you certainly keep your composure as well as any coach I've ever been around. And talk just a little bit about those emotions that you go through. We've got about 3 minutes here. Talk a little bit about those emotions that you go through as a coach, having been at the college level and then coming to a high school and staying there for 18 years. That's a exemplary career.
Well, the fact that you say I don't show my emotions very good, then I'm proud of that because I want to say I saw a picture on AL.com where I looked like I was being pretty emotional. And I joked with my assistant coach yesterday. I said, look at this picture. And she goes, you're lucky they didn't get one of you on all fours beating on the floor at St. Paul's. So I guess as long as those are more, you know, fewer than the ones where I appear composed. But I think, Rick, whether you're coaching on the college level, I think whether you're coaching on the high school level, I think we're all passionate. We love what we do, and we're competitors. And I think the key is letting your players know and conveying that passion, because sometimes they just don't want it as much as we do. So it's just about sharing that passion with them and you know, making it important for all of them. I mean, my kids that I coach now, most of them have no desire to play college basketball. But goodness gracious, they give everything they have for me every night, and so it's great to be along the ride with them. I don't know if I answered your question or not, but
did. I'm not saying your emotions aren't good. I think we're very lucky to have you and Michael now because I don't ever see y'all getting on an official. I never see that. And I mean, you treat them with dignity and respect. Let's talk real quick about this basketball team. You've got, in a minute here, you've got five girls when you put them on the floor. You can interchange, bring them off the bench. You've got a really good, solid basketball team.
Yeah, we it starts with our seniors. You know, inside, Noel Freeman, tremendous, great athlete. My point guard, Catherine Goodlow. I mean, we can't play without her. She plays 32 minutes. Wow. Tremendous point guard for us. Amelia Metter is our defensive stopper. She guards everybody's best ball handler. The other night, she's 5 for 5 from 3-point range against St. Paul, so she can do it on both ends. You know, then I've got a junior post player, Ainsley Ishii. who's been tremendous for us the last 2 years, scoring inside. And then Ellie Mostella, another junior guard that's just a dynamic athlete. Still trying to teach Ellie how to be a basketball player. But man, dynamic athlete, just tremendous. Can just make plays sometimes when they aren't there. And solid four players off the bench that give us good minutes off the bench. But just like you said, well-rounded team, and they compete their guts out every night. And looking forward to playing Coach Lassiter's team there Monday night again.
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. That's tip right. Off. That's right. Terry, thank you so much. Enjoy your day. I know this is a great time, and it's Mardi Gras season. Terry being a Louisiana guy, that's a big, big deal. And those guys certainly enjoy Mardi Gras, but basketball is that priority for Terry Canova. And it sure is reflective of the way his team plays. Thanks a bunch, Coach. Have a great weekend.
I appreciate you guys, man. You have a great one.
Thank you, Roddy.
There you go, Coach. Take Terry care. Canova. He's a good one.
One of the best.
399 wins, 180 losses. He's only had one losing season in 18 years. Oh, and by the way, that team went to Sweet 16. So
okay.
Just let you know.
Gosh.
All right. That's pretty good stuff, man. Pretty good stuff. All right. Hey, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we've got a lot of prep to get into. Rick, we're going to throw it at you, brother.
Yep.
Be ready. More PSR right after this.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Pops Market communication lines. Now, back to the show.
And we certainly welcome you back to the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report. Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Hyundai Genesis Room right here in Daphne, Alabama. Glad to have you on with us. I am Randy Bergen, Coach Mark Laster, Coach Rick Cleland. And, Coach, I want to get into some high school talk here. But, you know, we got to throw some shout-outs. There's a bunch of folks that listen to us down in Fairhope, down at Quail Creek, where our buddy, who will be on in the next show, Sweet Swing and Bobby Hall. Big group down there that listened to us, Charlie and his gang. So howdy doody down there. And, of course, Barry Gibson's got us tuned in right now, Coach Gibson. So appreciate all those guys.
Yeah, people that we appreciate. You know, we get those comments each and every week from people that we have no idea listen to our show, and we certainly appreciate that. And it's been a big week in high school sports, and I want to throw a little bit back to football. Ronnie Cottrell has resigned at Mobile Christian. They've replaced him with Charles Lawson, who's been the defensive coordinator there. When Gus Smith left to take the head job, I think originally he went, didn't he go to Jackson, and then he went to Gordo. And
right.
So Charles Lawson has been the defensive coordinator there. Charles has taken over for Ronnie Cottrell at Mobile Christian. Another coach that is very familiar to this area, a man who's been coaching for 41 years, Ronald Jackson. Ronald Jackson, the girls' head coach at T.R. Miller. He's had 20-win seasons. He's had 5 30-win seasons. He's won 5 state championships in 41 years. He was just he just got into the Alabama High School Athletic Association Hall of Fame. He's coached at Monroe County. Started coaching girls there after he graduated from Southern Miss. He was a heck of a player at Southern Mississippi. Then he coached the boys and the girls at Keith High School. Either one of you know where Keith High School is?
I heard of it, but I don't know where it is.
Keith, Alabama?
Yeah, no, it's right around, it's right over in the Selma area, Orville.
Okay, yeah.
Keith
okay,
over
Orville.
In Orville, yep. Alabama.
Yep.
And then he was a boys and girls coach for 7 years at T.R. Miller. He coached both of those teams. He was at T.R. Miller for 9 years. But he coached the boys and the girls for 7 of those years. And then he came to, he spent the last, 20-plus years there at T.R. Miller. In between 1992 and 1996, his teams won 62 straight games. Now, that's hard.
That's incredible.
That's hard, hard, hard. So Coach Ronald Jackson is retiring after 41 years, and we wish him well because you talking about Terry Canova, and he had some tremendous battles. Their teams played each other for a long time there and have had some really tremendous battles. And Congratulations to Coach Jackson.
You know, one of the things, Coach, you said for 7 years he was the boys and girls coach. How do you do that?
That you just sit on the bench and
you're busy.
That's right. You stay busy the whole time.
You stay busy.
I know some guys that do what Pat Summitt did at Tennessee that coach girls. They get some of the boys that may not have made a varsity team but are good basketball players, and they practice against mm-hmm. the girls. That's what Tennessee does. They have a boys team that comes in and practices with their women college players, and I would imagine Ronald probably did some of that, but a tremendous, tremendous.
Well, Terry Canova does it.
He does. He did it with the seventh grade. He'd bring the seventh and eighth grade teams in and do that. That's right, Mark. That's exactly right. Also, this week we announced all the 2023 Mr. Football Awards. So 2023 high school season is now officially closed, and we have a player who is a repeat winner of Mr. Football, and is he so deserving? Guys, Ryan Williams is just something special.
And that's never happened before.
I don't think
you've had back-to-back.
I don't think it has.
I don't think it has either, and that's I think he became the first one this ever happened. He was the first repeat winner. That's right, Randy, in 42 years.
It's so difficult for that to happen.
Yeah.
You know, there have been athletes who probably could have got it 2 years in a row throughout history. But if you take one sprained ankle, one concussion, one something that happens during the year where you don't play for a week, maybe 2 weeks, all of a sudden it's just like in the Heisman Trophy. People want to try to win the Heisman Trophy. If you're out for a couple of weeks, you're done.
That's right.
I mean, that's just the way it is. Yeah. It's the same thing in this deal.
Yeah,
as
I think a lot of times, too, in the early going, it was mainly seniors is what you saw. Mm-hmm. So you didn't have that opportunity for a repeat. Yeah.
And really, this guy is really just a junior.
Right.
But he's leaving school a year early and going to the University of Alabama. He's got all of his credits done. That's a credit to him as well.
Absolutely.
To have all of that done and then to be able to go on to the University of Alabama and play there next year. So congratulations to Ryan Williams. Super All-State, you're talking about some really outstanding players now. You look at these 12 players, and it doesn't matter the classification. Ryan Williams, of course, is on that Super All-State team. Jalen Backway is on there from Clay Chalkville. And, Mark, you guys, Alabama folks, are really going to get to know him. He had to play quarterback at Clay Chalkville.
Yeah, he's a DB.
But he is definitely a DB. And he was the one who was on Ryan Williams when they played in that state championship game. Cam Coleman, who I think is just an outstanding receiver from Central of Phoenix City. He signed with Auburn. And then this great running back that you guys at Alabama have been targeting for seems like 8 years, this Alvin Henderson, who is a tremendous football player. Russ Wood says he's the best that's ever been in Elba.
Yep.
And that says a lot. When number 89 says that says a lot.
Because he was always the best at Elba, right?
Well, I
89. Okay.
And then Ronnie Royal, of course, what more is there to say about Ronnie Royal at Gulf Shores? He's done everything for those guys down there. This kid, Jacob Cornjay at Cherokee County, nobody has signed him the last I'd heard. I think he's an outstanding football player, great running back there at Cherokee County. I don't know how people have missed on him, and college coaches know more than I do about recruiting. So I can tell you, but this guy to me is an absolute winner. And I just can't. I mean, he's big. He's strong. He runs over people. He's got great hands out of the backfield. I don't understand that one. I hope South Alabama would give him a call and maybe get him in. KJ Lacey, the quarterback at Saraland, and then DJ Barber, great defensive player there for Clay Chalkville. So we got some great players in this area. So the back of the year was Cam Coleman from Central Phoenix City in 7A. 6A was Ryan Williams. 5A back of the year, Ronnie Royal. 4A, Jacob Cornjoe from Cherokee County. 3A, KJ Jackson from St. James. 2A, Preston Lancaster from Tuscaloosa Academy. And, of course, the 1A back of the year was Alvin Henderson from Elba. The lineman of the year, 7A, Bradley Shaw from Hoover. 6A, DJ Barber from Clay Chalkville. 5A quarterback QB Reese from Ramsey. 4A was Joseph Phillips from Booker T. Washington Tuskegee. That job is open, by the way. Their coach took the job at Tallahassee. The 3A lineman of the year is Kentonia Kelly from right here in Mobile, played for Ronnie Cottrell at Mobile Christian on that 3A state championship team. The 2A lineman of the year is Tucker Wilkes from Fife. The 1A player of the year is Tim Parnell from Leroy. And the coach of the year in 7A is Zach Golson from over at Mary Montgomery, and I don't think anybody will argue that.
Nope.
6A coach is Drew Gilmer from Clay Chalkville, who just recently took the Hoover job. 5A coach is Jake Gaines from Moody. 4A coach is Lawrence O'Neill from Booker T. Washington of Tuskegee, and now Lawrence O'Neill is the new head coach at Tallahassee High School. The 3A coach is Ronnie Cottrell from Mobile Christian, who is now retired. 2A, well, not retired, but he's stepped away and says he's looking for a college job. 2A is Billy Adams at Locust Fork, and 1A coach is Chan Lowe at Leroy, who took the job when their coach, their head coach, got deployed. Mm-hmm. And so Chan did a great job there. So congratulations to all of these coaches, and the AISA Coach of the Year is Coach Lebo Jones from Wilcox Academy.
All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll talk a little indoor track. We'll do that right here on the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
There's your man right there, Coach.
I absolutely love some Bob Skaggs, I'll tell you that.
When's he back in Biloxi?
We can't find him. We've been looking for him. We can't find him.
That's some good stuff. There's no doubt. Hey, welcome back to the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report. Glad that you are with us. Hey, reminder for you, Boom's Thai Kitchen at the Fort is reopened. Yeah, we were shut down for a couple weeks for renovations, but now, Rick, she is open. She was busy as a bee yesterday, and she is looking forward to serving some of the best Thai food you'll ever get around here. And go check her out. Open at 11 o'clock at the Fort, located right across from the Bass Pro Shop in Spanish Fort. Tell her we sent you. She'll take good care of you, and you will enjoy that food. You got to make sure you get some Boom Rolls, though. Got to do that. So,
well, boy, yeah. Those Boom Rolls are something special.
They're pretty good.
I'm telling you.
They're pretty doggone good.
Now, you need to stay away from them.
I can't eat them. I know. She brought some home last night, and I'm like, I can't. Well, can't do this. No, I can't do any of that.
Then I'll go by and pick them up today. Man, alive.
Woo. Good stuff. Do check her out. Boom's Thai Kitchen at the Fort in Spanish Fort, right across from the Bass Pro Shop. Go by and see her. Rick, let's talk real quick some indoor track.
Yeah, you know, Mark, you guys – you alumni or, I guess, former coaches of Benjamin Russell. I don't know what we call where we coached before, but you spent great years at Benjamin Russell. Got a great athlete coming out of there. Malcolm Simmons is a – you know, you say Malcolm Simmons, and when I think of Malcolm Simmons, I think about that left-footed punter that punted for Alabama. Malcolm Simmons out of Jeff Davis.
Yeah.
Played for Billy Livens at Jeff Davis. Yeah. And I kept seeing Malcolm Simmons. And, heck, if he's not an all-state receiver, it played at for Smitty Grinder at Benjamin Russell, and he's a heck of an athlete, and
tremendous,
of course, signed
athlete
with Auburn, and now he sets records at the state indoor. Malcolm Simmons from Benjamin Russell opened the meet Friday morning with a bang, setting a new AHSAA indoor class 6A state high jump record, clearing 6 feet 10 inches. Wow, he's close to 7 feet now. He's getting up there.
Well, he's got a guy who was from Benjamin Russell, named Scotty Vines.
Right.
Who, in the outdoor, cleared 6 feet 10 inches. That was the only kid I ever taught or coached that won a state championship in track.
Is that right?
Scotty Vines. Sure it is.
So Malcolm has broken Scotty Vines'
indoor, record. In the indoor.
Indoor. Okay.
In the outdoor, Scotty's got it. Now Malcolm could get it
right
this spring.
Yeah, he could. He could. He attempted 7 feet with his last try, but he had made the height, but his foot tapped the bar as he was going over. So that's So of course he's an Auburn University football. We're glad to have him, wide receiver guy, and boy, excited to get him there. But you know, one of the outstanding things about this meet was the meet closed with an incredible indoor track career for Cold Spring senior Ethan Edgeworth. Now listen to this. Edgeworth opened his final AHSAA State Indoor Track Championship meet with another state championship and a Class 2A record. He won the 800 meters race with the 1A, 3A record time of 155.26, just a shadow ahead of Trinity Presbyterian's Matt Blake, who crossed at 156.12. It also broke the previous state record of 156.40 set by St. Luke's outstanding runner, Andrew Burchett, at last year's state meet. So, boy, that's a great career that Ethan Edgeworth has had, and we salute him. Also, Mountain Brook Jr. on the girls' side, Annie Kerr, she had already cleared the 6A state meet record pole vault of 12.3 during the regular season when she soared 12 feet 9 inches. Friday, she won the 6A pole vault with a 13-foot clearance. Well, that's impressive, Mark. I'm just telling you guys, you and Randy, these guys and gals are something fabulous. A local girl from here in Mobile, St. Paul's Junior, Janie Ford, turned in a great performance yesterday. Very versatile athlete. She competed in the pentathlon this winter and the heptathlon last spring. She won the Class 6A triple jump with a winning leap of 40 feet, 1 1/4 inches Friday. She also won the 60-meter hurdles, clocking 8.8 seconds, which is a personal record, and totaled 30 individual points in the meet. When you have people scoring 30 points in a track meet, man, you go in places. Couple of great performances. Sean Stevenson from Northridge of Tuscaloosa helped the Jaguars win the state crown with a 4.18.80 time in the 6A 1600 meters to earn second place. He also took third in the 3,200 meters. Now, here's one that surprised me. Jack Chapman from Mountain Brook, a junior, had a best personal time of 156.49 to beat runner-up Charles Perry of UMS Wright by a hiccup to claim the 6A 400-meter dash title. It was the best time of the season for Perry, who's a senior and going to the University of Virginia to run. And so I don't ever remember a Perry finishing second, but somebody had to do something outstanding to beat him.
What was that time?
156.49, and that's 400 meters. Perry ran it in 153.12, I'm sorry, earlier this year, but in this meet he ran it at 1 minute 56 seconds. Or is that, what is that?
That's got to be the half mile.
It's got to be the, it's got to,
because no. the 400 ought to be under a minute.
Is it? Okay. Well, in 1 minute 56 seconds, .52 to take second place. And this Charles, I'm telling you right now, to beat Charles Perry, very few people have done that in their high school. You got to be something special. So congratulations to both of those young people. Jack Chapman from Mountain Brook and Charles Perry from UMS.
Man.
That's great.
At indoor track, you know, the thing about an indoor track is it's the track's smaller.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little smaller. And so then when they run those, that I don't think that 400 time, with if that's got to list it at 400, I don't think that's correct.
You don't?
But because it doesn't sound right to me. It sounds more like a half-mile run or 880 run. But those guys who run that thing, those 400-meter guys, it's today, you know, it's almost an all-out sprint. They take that back stretch and really get to about 90% on it and lean into the curb, and it's full spin after 200 meters. That last 200 meters is full tilt. But it's fun to watch those kids. And most of them don't practice on an indoor track. Nobody has them.
Right. I got to tell you, the pole vault gets me. Have you ever tried that? Have you ever tried to pole vault?
That would be a no.
I don't think there's a stick that would hold us.
Not now.
I no sure would.
No, sir, anybody.
That thing would snap.
Snap.
I'm telling you. That's something.
I'd pull something on the way down, down the lane. I'd pull a hamstring or something.
I tried it one time in high school, and whenever I put the pole in that little hole, if you will, it was not pretty. Let me just put it like that, Mark.
I remember when I was in high school, we had a class. Our PE teacher, this was in St. Louis, he had a 6-week unit on track and field. And he took us all down there to the high jump pit. And he goes, okay, now, we're going to jump the high jump. This is how you do it. he told him he had a kid from the track team demonstrate how you do it. And everybody got up there and started doing it. And I got up getting ready to go. And he goes, never mind, Mark, just move over. Let the next guy up. His friend is going to hit my head on a bar going up.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll tell you. I've been getting abused all my life. That's a terrible thing.
You know what, Rick? That triple jump of 40 feet. Think about that for a second.
Yeah, I can't fathom it. I mean, 2 feet's long for me. I can't even imagine 40 feet. That. That's a long, long, long way.
Best I ever seen do it was a kid named, is it Orlando Waters?
Played yeah, at from Anniston. Yeah.
I watched him triple jump because we used to – that was one of the teams that was in our area up there when we'd go over to Sylacauga on their new track.
Yeah.
And and Anniston would come, and that dude was unbelievable. He won the state his senior year, and it was an unbelievable. He just like glided in the air. Triple jump is a very difficult jump. You really have to be talented to do that. Terrell Owens was a triple jumper.
Right.
Terrell, you know, did you see where Terrell was just here at the Senior Bowl this week?
He didn't tell me he was in town.
Yeah. Something coming to an end, guys. Something coming to an end after 30 years. Rick and Bubba.
Oh, yeah.
Rick and Bubba have decided to end their show. When you talk about two guys, Rick Burgess and Bill Bubba Bussey. They have been on the airwaves around the Southeast now for 30 years. Rick Burgess, of course, the son of longtime Oxford right. and Jacksonville State head coach, Hall of Fame coach Bill Burgess, and Bill Bubba Bussey, the former tennis coach at Briarwood Christian Academy in Birmingham. And, boy, I'm telling you, those guys have just made lots and lots and lots of entertainment hours for people all over the Southeast. But the thing about them is they're a Christ-centered radio show, lasted for 30 years on stations throughout the Southeast. Job well done, guys. Job well done.
Coach, as they go away, somebody else is coming back, Jolene Roxbury.
She sure is. And you know what? We are fortunate to have her at FM Talk 106.5. And if you hadn't had a chance to listen to Jolene Roxbury's Comedy Hour, you have missed a treat. I'm just telling you that. You have missed a treat. You get a chance to catch her, I believe it's on Sunday afternoon, if I'm not mistaken.
She's on a couple of different times.
Boy, if you get a chance to listen to Jolene Roxbury.
Yeah. They're talented.
They will rock your world, I can tell you that. She had a bevy of characters yep. on there. So we're excited to have them back as well. And, boy, it's tough to see Rick and Bubba go. Those are two guys that I have the utmost respect for. And, of course, Rick spends a lot of his time speaking to different organizations and different groups. His testimony is powerful, to say the least.
He lost his son.
He did lose his son. Yeah. He lost his son in a swimming accident, a young, very young, young right. son. And it was a devastating blow to that family. But their faith has certainly carried them through some very difficult times with the loss of a child. Yeah, that's exactly right.
No doubt. You know, we're going to be taking our final time out here in just a moment. And when we come back, you have got the Camp Grace segment. And you told us we do not want to miss it.
Not today.
You do not want to miss today's. All right. Well, there it is. Don't touch that dial. When we come back, Coach Mark Lasser has the Camp Grace segment as the Thompson Tractors Prep Sports Report returns right after this.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, I was thinking about today's thing. Today's thing is about what we take for granted. About the grace segment. That's what it is, because we all take things for granted. We don't think about things that should be more meaningful to us on a daily basis. And I was reminded about that this week when a memory popped up on my Facebook page. It was from February 1st of 2017. And it says, on this date 20 years ago, which would be February 1st of 1997, My wife, Michelle Waldrop Lassiter, had emergency brain surgery. The neurosurgeon told me she had about a 10% chance of surviving a horrific ordeal. What had happened was, guys, she'd been sick, had a headache. Mm-hmm. Turned out she had a sinus infection that didn't drain. And that moved over into her part of her your skull where it's thin, and the infection ate its way through her skull into her brain, into her cranial cavity there, and got in that warm fluid. And so this had been going on for a week. But on this day, we were at the hospital. Thank goodness we were in Birmingham at the hospital. And says her sinuses wouldn't drain. A sinus infection erupted. A membrane ate its way into her cranial cavity. There it grew, made her brain swell, actually pushed her brain stem into her spine, and cut off her life support systems. Mm-hmm. That was kind of a scary thing. We're sitting there in the room. She'd just gotten out of a CAT scan. And I was sitting there, and I watched her code out. They took her down to the ICU, and it says she, and I wrote in this post, she survived that surgery that day and the sinus surgery next day. There were over 300 family members and friends in our waiting room at Baptist Montclair in Birmingham, a testament to the kind of woman my wife is. Letters, cards, and prayers from across our town of Alexander City, the state of Alabama, and throughout our country poured in over the next several days. She was in a coma for 3 days. Our two oldest boys, Brooks and Landon, were one and a half and almost one. She woke up on the third day. Turns out she had no short-term memory. Making decisions are hard for her sometimes. There's other problems that we could have never, ever imagined that come about on a daily basis. However, she won't be kept down. It won't. Her spirit will not be quenched. I am amazed at her. Don't get me wrong now. It's not all roses and sunshine. But she made it through surgeries, a coma, intensive rehab. And now that's the real, where the real story begins. Since that time, we had our youngest child, Brian, who's now 24 and working for Cecil Christenberry's company out at Old Time Feed and Chris's company. To me, he is a miracle in and of itself that she lived and gave birth to Brian. In the last several years, she has raised three fine boys, kept a smile in her heart that permeates throughout, always ready to meet, help people, and made our house a home. We've been married for 25 years. That was then. Now it's 32. And it's just continued to make our world better. This week, she's been sick again with a headache. I take for granted every single day what this woman has done to make our house a home and make us a family. And I take for granted everything. And there's so many things we take for granted. We don't think about everything that goes on, and we should take a minute every day to thank God for where we are at this moment.
You know, Mark, as you give that, as you share with us that about a precious, precious lady in Michelle who's always got a kind word to speak. We get notified that Randy and I have a dear friend who passed away last night. And Al Moore was part of all of us.
Yep.
Native of West Virginia. Guy who worked, a great electrician. He could do anything and would do anything for his buddies. How many times did Al come to my house yeah. and just say, Coach, it's all you got to do?
There you go.
And he did it for all of us. Little bitty guy, you two guys would look him eye to eye. He could hit a golf ball a mile. He could hit it, but he putted like me and Randy. And, you know.
He and I traded some dollars,
yeah,
I can tell you.
Yeah, y'all did. And I know, Randy, you got great memories of Al just like I do, but I'm just taken aback that we lost him. A week ago, or maybe 10 days ago, we were sitting there talking to him about his health issues. And
yeah.
Now, he's gone on to a better place, but there's a lot of lonely hearts, sure. A lot of missed people here. Hey, don't forget to tell your people that you're with, that you love them. Randy, thank you for doing what you do. Love you, Mark. Love you. You folks remember this. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, he is always with you. God bless you. See you here same time, same place next week.